You know, everyone talks about being a thought leader. Well, this dude actually is, and that's why I really, really am super excited to talk to him. Enough of me talking. I have a very specific question for you, Mark, to start us off, and that is, every Monday for the last several months, have your ears been burning? Because I'm not kidding you. I have been talking.
I'm at a certain age where there's lots of things burning.
Too much information, but we'll talk about that later. I bring this up because literally I had Andy Crestodina on and we spent two episodes weaving in a lot of the concepts that you've talked about, specifically in Marketing Rebellion. I just did a couple of episodes with my good friend here in Madison, Wisconsin, Don Stanley, who's an instructor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And we riff back and forth on a lot of the concepts you talk about. And the reason why is that, I don't know if you know this, but Nonfiction Brand, the podcast, and Nonfiction Brandversity, the kind of online adjunct to it, is all about the reality that is, if you aren't building your personal brand right now, you are leaving opportunity on the table. And in fact, actually really hurting your long-term longevity at the job you have or the career you wish to maintain. And I'm going to add this, especially in the age where AI is coming for a whole lot of jobs. That's a big, huge topic, but I really want to set up, and I want to stop talking. I want to start asking you, but I do want to say, the thing that blew me out of the water was when you gave the closing keynote at Social Media Marketing World this year in San Diego. And I'm literally in your congregation, you know, singing along with you practically. And then you throw up a slide that says the personal brand is the company brand. And I almost had a coronary because I believe that so much.
Yeah.
What do you mean when you say the personal brand is the company brand?
I actually remember you, I think you tweeted about that. It's either on Twitter or Facebook.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember you posting about that. Well, I think it's a very simple idea. I think it's a very intuitive idea, really, that trust in businesses and in brands and in advertising has declined 10 years in a row. And if you look at all the research that shows who do people believe, it's each other. They believe in other people. They believe in company leaders, technical experts, entrepreneurs. Trust in entrepreneurs is very high. And so I think, you know, we need to rethink really what the personal, what the company brand is all about. The company brand used to be what we broadcast to people. It was what, you know, we thought we were in control of, you know, our message. And today, a company brand is what people tell each other. And building this effective social media presence, you know, it's maybe another way to talk about, you know, personal branding in the digital age, having this effective social media presence. That's a life skill today. And if more people in your company have that life skill, then you're going to win. If you have that life skill as an individual and you're known and your competitors aren't, you're going to win, right? That's what branding is all about. It's having some emotional edge over your competitors to help people choose you.
Well, I can't agree with you more. I mean, it used to be that typing, being able to type was something that was like the business equivalent of tying your shoes. And then it became Excel. Do you know Microsoft Office product set? That used to be the tying your shoes of business. Well, now there's a new, can you tie your shoes and brush your teeth of business, which is, are you actually getting out there and enhancing your worth to us, the company, by becoming an expert within whatever your niche is and making sure that people understand that you're bringing that value not only to yourself, but you're applying it by association to the company? I was on a conversation yesterday with George B. Thomas, and he asked me the question about personal brands and companies, why should companies allow that? And I said, personal branding is the brand tide that floats all brand boats, whether you're, you know, if you're building your brand, what do you think that does for the company? And an example that I can prove is, let's say you have an NBA team in your town and LeBron James is going to become a member of that NBA team. Mm-hmm. What is that going to do to ticket sales overnight?
Yeah.
Kaboom, it goes through the roof. It doesn't matter if the rest of the team is terrible. Yeah,
right.
Same thing with Tiger Woods in golf. If he's at a tournament, even if he's not being competitive, you're going to sell so many more tickets. That's what personal branding is really all about.
I think that's one of the reasons why Tesla has higher market value than Ford Motor Company. because you have an emotional connection to Elon Musk. And, you know, he's an imperfect human being, but he's a real human being, and he talks like a human being. And so, I mean, who's the one person you love at Ford? Who's the one person you love at General Motors? There isn't anybody, right? I saw this ad the other day. You know, it was for some truck, and I don't know what they were promoting, but they were like listing these highlights, and they said, you know, this truck has dual torque suspension. Now, I don't know what that is. I don't care what that is, really, honestly. There's probably a very, very small fraction of people in the whole world who know or care what that is. But, you know, there's a great emotional connection to like Ford versus Dodge. You know, you're a Chevy guy, or you're a Ford guy when it comes to trucks. I say guy, but, you know, person. And that's what great marketing is really all about. It's building emotion. If you're not building emotion, then you're just in sales. You're just trying to move merchandise. And there's a role for that too, right? But increasingly, the personal brand, that's what people connect the emotion to. You know, it's a lot easier to create an emotional connection to you or to me, a live person, a real face, than a jingle or dual torque suspension.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Well, that used to be the thing that we always advertised. I come from the agency world, and it was always about features and benefits. And you talk about that as if everyone cares about it. And the reality is, as you are saying, not everybody does care about that. And certainly in this day and age, and you make a very compelling point in the book that your customer is really your marketing department now. Mm-hmm. What do you mean when you say that your customer, your clients, the people who engage with you are your new marketing department?
Well, it's funny, you know, when I proposed this in the book, actually, you know, when I was writing the book, that was one of the more controversial things that I thought I had in there. And as I was writing it, I was thinking, oh my gosh, what is going to happen? Do I have the personal courage to really write this book, Marketing Rebellion, to say what has to be said? Because a lot of people are going to be mad about this. It really breaks a lot of the molds that we're used to in marketing, that we're in control of the message, that we're in control of the customer journey, that we're in control of this, you know, sales funnel, and we're not. And this is not just Mark Schaefer's view of the world. This is backed up with a lot of research. Take it to the bank research from McKinsey and Accenture and Deloitte and MIT and Harvard, and, you know, right down the line. And it's overwhelming that this is true, that this is a true view of our world today, that 2/3 of our marketing is occurring without us. And I think the first time marketers hear that, it's a bit of a shock. It's like, whoa, 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 what do you mean? What do you mean? We've got more impact than that. We've got more control than that. And then when you start to really think about it and you think about your own behavior, you say, yep, I get it. That's how the world really works. And so once you go through the different stages of grieving,
yeah,
and you get to the point of acceptance, then the Marketing Rebellion book sort of provides a blueprint for how we need to be moving forward with our businesses today. But it is a very controversial point of view. And I didn't get the backlash that I thought I might get on this book. I mean, basically people say, you know, it was like really unnerving. But then it's like, I realized I see this happening too. I know this is happening. And you just put a name to it and sort of liberated us to do what we know we're supposed to be doing anyway.
Well, it's the rabid 800-pound gorilla in the room that people, especially professional marketers or anyone who cares about building even their personal brand, needs to recognize, which is I can go out there all day long and say I'm one thing, but I'm actually more tied to what I show people. It's not about telling, it's about showing, and it's about sharing. And, you know, we live in a golden age of social sharing where you can build international relationships with people you've never met in real life. And yet via Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you can build these relationships. I want to touch on the fact that you thought this was going to be very controversial so much by reading from your introduction. The truth was so disturbing, so unexpected, and so challenging that I wondered what would happen if I started to write about it. I had a feeling that this would be a very loud wake-up call. And then this paragraph, which kind of hits you in the head with a baseball bat. Consumers are in control. The sales funnel is gone. Advertising is dying. Great marketing may anger people. Loyalty is a myth. The traditional chief marketing officer role is a thing of the past. Technology may be the enemy. Engagement doesn't matter. Our customers are the marketing department. These are all like slaps in the face to,
kind of blows I don't your mind.
Well, it does.
There's a guy that I interviewed me on a show one time, and he opened up the book to that chapter. And in the margin of the book, he literally wrote, "Oh shit." Yeah.
Well, exactly. Because it literally forces people to break open their mind. And, you know, I've been in advertising for over 26 years. And I started in the late 90s. And I remember reading fairly early on in the 2000s, maybe, that Procter & Gamble was taking all their budget at the time and turning it over to social media. And that was a shock to me.
Yeah.
Because at that time, it was not the modern constellation of social media channels, but mm-hmm. they were literally moving away from broadcast TV, which, mm-hmm. I mean, soap operas were named soap operas because of companies like Procter & Gamble who sponsored mm-hmm. them.
Why not? Right.
And all of a sudden they're saying, no, we're getting out of this broadcast medium and we're going into this small fragmented thing that frankly was unproven at the time. And I knew that I needed to slap myself upside the face and say, what are you doing to understand this brave new world? And, you know, your books are fantastic when it comes to that stuff. And I just wanted to give listeners an idea of what those books are. So I'm going to read directly from your businessesgrow.com bio. Mark is the author of 6 best-selling marketing books, Known, Social Media Explained, Return on Influence, Born to Blog, The Content Code, and The Tao of Twitter, which has been named the best-selling book on Twitter in the world, et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, you've been deeply in this, but the cool thing about you is that you bring the math. You know, there are a lot of people who opine, and I'll cop to that myself. I opine, I have an opinion, and I talk about that opinion all day long. And I like to think it's fully backed with research, but you actually bring that math and you share that math in a very open way to anybody who purchases the book or sees you speak. What is, yeah. is that part of your personal brand strategy?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I don't know if it's really part of a mindful strategy, but it's part of my DNA. And I think this actually opens up an interesting topic that I've been thinking a lot about. I mean, I was very fortunate that I grew up in a company. I worked most of my career for a company called Alcoa. At the time, they were a Fortune 100 company. In the last couple of years, they've sort of been split up into pieces, but they were part of the Dow Jones Industrials. They were a blue chip company. It was a very, very well-run company. And I was extremely fortunate to be part of their leadership team. And this was a company that was really run on data, you know, and facts and testing and statistical process control. And whether you were in manufacturing or you were in sales or marketing, you know, you were expected to look at the data and make, you know, rational decisions. And imagine my shock sort of moving from this culture into the social media marketing world. And I think one of the biggest, maybe the biggest problem in marketing today is that we're not data-led, we're guru-led. And we tend to just listen to whatever Gary Vaynerchuk says or whatever Seth Godin says, and then everybody just like kind of swings in that direction. And, you know, Gary Vaynerchuk, his big thing right now is everybody needs to be on TikTok. That is not a strategy. It yeah. just isn't. Great marketing is about non-conformity, not conformity. If everybody's doing the same thing, which they are right now, I mean, that's a recipe for failure. So I think the essence of great marketing is figuring out how can you maneuver? Where is your place? Where can you zig where everybody else is zagging? And that's just lost. It's just, it's such a basic idea of marketing, but it's lost. And you know, we have this guru-led environment that's just shocking to me because that's not the culture that I grew up with. And so, you know, I don't think it's a branding thing for me. I think I just worked in this company for so many years. It became a way of life that was just pounded into me that you just have to bring good business sense, you know, good rational business sense to make decisions and create a strategy instead of just listening to what somebody says, you know, in a video or a blog post.
Yeah, I can't help but agree with you hugely, because what I see is, and I'm a, you know, if you have to divide the world on a binary continuum, you've got hard science on one end, you've got the fluffiest art history class in the world on the other one. Advertising and marketing to me is right in the middle, because yeah, it needs both.
I think that's a good characterization.
That's my big beef with a lot of who you're calling gurus. Mm-hmm. I mean, well, and here's the challenge too. I mean, think of a couple of years ago when Facebook was telling everybody to pivot to video, and they gave all sorts of numbers, and then it turns out the numbers are garbage.
Perfect example.
Yeah. Well, and the whole thing is with video, and you know, a lot of personal brand gurus are saying video, you got to do video.
Right.
There are a lot of people who should not be doing video. I hate to say this, but it's true.
Right.
If some people are magnetic on camera,
yeah,
great, do that. Other people are really fantastic with audio. Great, do that. Other people are really deep thinkers who write incredibly well. Do that. Find your niche, find your voice. And when people say find your voice, a lot of them are saying literally talk. And I'm saying, no, find your voice and your milieu and your style and be there in a huge way, because that will build your personal brand in a mammoth way very, very quickly.
Right.
Now, your book, again, is Marketing Rebellion, The Most Human Company Wins. And I literally, you know, I'm holding up my copy, which has a whole bunch of post-it notes on it, marking pages, because literally this is a book where every page, I don't think there's a fluff page in here, to be honest.
Well, that's the highest compliment you could ever give me.
Yeah. Well, it's true.
I'm a no fluff guy. And, you know, I get so frustrated by business books that have like one idea and then 240 pages of examples to, you know, there's so many books like that. Yeah. I rarely get through chapter 3 of most business books today because they're so filled with fluff. But I, you know, I put up my heart and soul into this book, and there is a great idea or inspiration on every single page.
Well, in fact, you start out many of the chapters, if not all of them, with a quote from that's a meaningful quote. And like one of the ones I highlighted was from your mentor, as far as I know, Peter Drucker, who is the late, great, incredible business mind, organizational mind, just plain kind of groundbreaking thought
leader. He was a genius.
Truly. The name of the chapter I'm citing is Chapter 5, Self-Interest and the Artisanal Brand. You've got a quote by Mr. Drucker that says, "The aim of marketing is to make selling superfluous." I could not agree more, but I really want to hear what you have to say about why you included that quote in that specific section.
You know, it's funny, as you were saying that quote, I just thought of something that in my career with Alcoa, we had a chairman of the company named Paul O'Neill. He was a wonderful, inspirational guy that later became the Secretary of the Treasury of the United States. And when he came in, he would ask questions like, why do we need sales? If we're creating great products that meet our customer needs better than anybody else at a reasonable price, why do we even need sales? And it's just like, okay, well, we've got all these salespeople, but that's a really good question. You know, if you're really doing your job and you're meeting the needs of your customers or exceeding the needs of your customers in a way that's more rapid than your customer, than your competitors, and in a way that's distinctive from your competitors, why wouldn't people just keep placing orders? So I think at least philosophically and theoretically, that's what we should be aiming for, is to create just some bond that's so strong that people start ordering from us as just as a matter of habit.
Well, and you are constantly showing your audience, your customers, your clients, the quality of your product. You are meeting or exceeding their expectations on a regular basis. You create that relationship. And I love to say that salespeople, bad salespeople, are about transactions, singular. Great salespeople are about relationship, which is lifelong and can have a lifetime of transactions. But you can see it even with personal brands. A lot of people are out there to make the transaction sale without building the relationship. And another one of those slides that, or the things you talked about at Social Media Marketing World's closing keynote, was the idea that small businesses are not brands. They are personal brands because of their very nature. And again, I'm practically passing out in the audience going, exactly. Because if you answer the phone, hi, my name is, as opposed to company name is, you've just proven the point that you are a brand.
Right.
And people need to understand all the aspects of that personal brand. Hey, nonfiction branders, did you know I wrote a book? Well, I did, and it's called Rotoma, the ROI of Social Media Top of Mind. I wrote it with my colleague Spencer X. Smith, and it's all about Rotoma, an acronym that means Return on Top of Mind Awareness. Best-selling author and NYU Stern School of Business professor Scott Galloway called it a book that starches the fluff from social media and helps managers allocate capital and find the unicorn among unicorns, ROI. And Chief Content Officer at Marketing Profs, Ann Handley, said, this isn't just a practical way to think about the return on social media. It's also a spot-on, accurate way to reframe your social efforts. Check out all the 5-star reviews on Amazon by searching Rotoma, R-O-T-O-M-A. Pick up your copy today and start building your personal, professional, and small business brand the Rotoma way. From your point of view, what are the key aspects of a personal brand that someone should be thinking about codifying and presenting through their social media feeds or face-to-face, et cetera?
Well, I'm not a bragging person, but one thing I will brag about is the process that I articulated in my book, Known. So that's what that book is all about. And the reason I'm proud of that book is because it gets to the heart of exactly what your question is. And it's what I struggled with is, what is the essence of becoming known? How do you become known? Can anybody become known? And I interviewed 97 people around the world in all different fields, you know, construction and real estate and finance and wealth management and art and music and real estate. And these are people who are the sort of the go-to people in their business. And they all did the same 4 things to be known. So it can be codified. It can be scaled. I think everybody has an equal opportunity to do that, starting with, you know, really taking some time to think about, what do you want to be known for? All right. That's in business terms. It's like, what is our brand? You know, what is our brand? What do you want to be known for? So when people think of you or they talk about you. So, I mean, you said such a lovely thing that, you know, Mark, there's no fluff in this book. Mark, you bring the data. Those are exactly the things I want to be known for.
Well, guess what? I knew that because you've demonstrated it.
I've demonstrated it. Right. So the interesting thing is that I haven't taken out an ad with my functionality. I'm not talking about, here's my functionality. I'm not giving you coupons. I'm not incenting you to buy my books or talk about me in this way. But I've been very mindful and systematic about building this personal brand really over, you know, 11 years now. And it hasn't been perfect. It doesn't have to be perfect, but it does have to be mindful and it does have to be consistent. So I've blogged, you know, at least once a week, usually twice a week for, you know, 10 and a half years. It never missed, because that's a slippery slope. You know, part of my brand is people open up their email on Mondays and they see something from me. Open it up on, well, Wednesdays or Thursdays, they see something coming from me. And so I want to become part of that habit. I want to become part of the fabric of their life. And I want to be consistent in that I will never waste your time. I will never take you for granted. I'm never going to be fluff. I'm going to bring the data. I'm going to bring the heat. I'm going to create, you know, you said it at the very top of the show, you know, you said a lot of people talk about being, you know, marketing authorities, or, you know, thought leaders, and Mark really is one. And I mean, that just shows to me, you know, all this work is paying off. And I think consistency is a big part of that. You know, if I had just written 5 blog posts, you wouldn't be saying that. If I stopped creating content in 2013, you wouldn't be saying that. The only way you get to that level is that you got to bring the heat and you got to be relevant, and you got to do it every week, and you can't give up.
Yeah, well, you hit the key word there, which is it's work. Mm-hmm. But there's a difference between working hard and working smart. And I want to talk about that in next week's episode, which we're going to start in just a few minutes. But until then, I want to say thank you so much to Mark Schaefer, the author of Marketing Rebellion, The Most Human Company Wins, a book that I heartily recommend.
I am DP Knutton for the Nonfiction Brand Podcast and Nonfiction Brandversity, and he is
Mark Schaefer.
And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.